We continue on our Shirim Lezecher Nishmas Rav Aaron Salvechik, Rav Aaron ben Rav Moshe Salvechik. His neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
One thing I didn't mention, I just wanted to mention before we start the shir, in 1992, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who is related, he married the daughter of Rav Yosef Dov Salvechik's daughter. So Rav Aaron, by marriage, was his uncle. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said that he had three primary Rabbeim in his life. Rav Yitzhak Huttner, because he learned in Torah Vada, in Chavruta Chaim Berlin. Rav Yosef Dov Salvechik, we earlier said that Rav Huttner taught Rav Aaron when Rav Moshe was in America. Rav Yosef Dov Salvechik was his father-in-law and his chief Talmud, was one of the Talmud Muvhakim, and Rav Aaron Salvechik. And when he explained the relationship he had with Rav Aaron, so he said, Rav Aaron Salvechik too, I learned much, but above all, he served as a role model. Rav Aaron, while an inspiring vision, yet somehow seemed within reach and in presenting a model. It isn't so much what he said or did. I was simply enthralled by what he was. A remarkable fusion of mastery and simplicity, of vigor and humility, and above all, a pillar of radical integrity. This idea of MS that I pointed out to you before. To an extent far beyond what we knew or could possibly imagine. I think that one of the special things about Rav Aaron was that you actually were able to relate to him, which is so strange, because when people ask me, here was someone who was 80 years old, I was 20 years old, out of most of the Rabbeim I've had in my life, he was so relatable. Even though his Torah was the Torah of Europe, it was pretty amazing. And he made you feel, as Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, that I can attain a very high level. The ambition I had to become greater. So, one amazing thing about Rav Aaron, we talked about integrity, that even if there was a situation, and often people would make the mistake in shir and say to Rav Aaron, but Rebbe, your brother, Rav Yosher Ber, says it this way. He's like, I am not my brother. I'm my own person. And he would live in the shadow of this great brother, the Rav. And he would say it like it is. And we'll see in today's shir, although not developed at all by Rav Aaron Salvechik, hanhaga that Rav Aaron had, which is very interesting because we'll learn the derech of brisk when it comes to tefillin and chol hamoed, and see that Rav Aaron, because of integrity, felt one way, and even though it might be against his family minhag, insisted, as we'll see, privately to wear tefillin and chol hamoed. So let's begin. And this should be fun. I hope you'll have as fun. It's chol hamoed. We're supposed to have fun. So it's going to be interactive. You're allowed to speak, say whatever you want. And some of you even did the Ma'ir Makomos, so we could have fun in learning together. I love when guys do Ma'ir Makomos, so I'm not just spoon-feeding it to you. So the most important of the Ma'ir Makomos is source number one, to understand where potentially Tefillin Chol Hamoed would fit in. The Gemara says in Menachos and Dan Labed Vav Amud Beis, Titanya, the Pasuk says, V'shamart Ezachuka Hazois L'moada Yamim Yamima. What does that Gemara come to teach us? Anyone who learned the Ma'ir Makomos? What, son?
Not the night.
Not the night what?
You shouldn't put on the night.
What should I put on the night?
Tefillin.
Tefillin, yeah, thank you. I was just making sure we're on the same page. We're talking about tefillin and chol hamoed. You shouldn't put tefillin on at night. Yes? Only night, sir?
Yeah.
Anyone? Thank you for reading the Gemara. Yes. My, I don't know what color hair friend. I promise I would, and I will. Baruchim Tia Bozo, the clown. So comes along. I got a lot more. So comes along. Purim's another time. Comes along, the Gemara, and says there's a pasuk in the Torah. There's a problem with this pasuk. The pasuk may not be speaking about this. We'll learn in a moment. It says yamim yamima, assuming the pasuk's talking about tefillin. V'lo kol yamim, prat l'shabbos yom tovim. You're correct. Number one, you can't wear tefillin at night. And number two, there are certain days we don't wear tefillin. Shabbos and Yom Tov. We take it for granted. We know that's true. That's Rav Yossi Aglili. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, what? Lo nemar chug v'ele Pesach bavad. Look at the Pesukim in the Torah. They're talking about Korban Pesach. What are you bringing tefillin in here? Yeah, because it says, Vayu l'totafos ben inecha. Yes, it's true. We wear tefillin. That's true. But he says, the Pesach's not even talking about that. Aye, so what do we do with Rabbi Akiva? Nafkule, he's got to bring another Pesach. So he says, how do we know that you can't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because the Pasuk says, v'haya l'os al yadecha. So guys, now explain to me the Gemara. According to Rabbi Akiva, what does os teach us? What's os? Yeah? What? Yes, and so what does the Gemara teach us? Yom Tov is a sign. And what else is a sign? What else is a sign, by the way? Not discussed? And? Bris Mila, Yishkoyach, and Bris Mila. So, interestingly enough, what? Right. On the day of your bris, you don't do a tefillin. Now, it's interesting, though, because we actually are machbid that the person who is not having the bris, but the father does wear tefillin. But he's not the same os, obviously. But we have, you can't have contradictory osios. You can't have an oat and an oat. You don't need it. Right? An oat is a sign of the relationship we have with Hashem. Or something like that. There's a Seinfeld like that. Right? And therefore what? You can't conflict with each other. Therefore, Shabbos comes, I don't need the oath of tefillin. Because I have Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah? Great question. Good. That's a question that somebody smart should ask. Why not? We say a Baal Tosif by a sign. Good question. This question is, why don't we have Osios? The Gemara doesn't explain. Rabbi Kiva seems to say, oh, you can't have Osios. Great question. Why not? Right? Why can't you have conflicting oaths? Right? So if I wanted to be a smart rabbi, I would say, because that's what it says in the Gemara. The Rishonim, from my understanding, the Rishonim don't raise this as a huge question. You have to go into the more Kabbalistic understanding of what an oath is, and then it's not necessarily you can't, it's that you don't need it. It's that you don't, right? But an interesting Baal Tosif idea. But Baal Tosif in the sense of not, and it's a Daraisa Baal Tosif, it's not something we need because we have Shabbos, right? We don't understand this because we don't do this anymore, but imagine the way it used to be. It used to wear tefillin the entire day. Tefillin was an all day of it. It wasn't just this little rub-a-dub-dub, 25 minutes, I'm done. You give us 18 minutes, we'll give you chakras. You know, it wasn't that way. Right? You know, you come at Ashrei and leave at Ashrei. Right? No. It was a whole day affair. So you had God on my mind all the time. Shabbos, you don't need God on my mind all the time. It's Shabbos. I have God on my mind all the time. So there is a machloikis. Sorry? Did somebody say something? Shabbos. Okay. So there is a machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and Yossi Aglili. Parenthetically, Rabbi Akiva also learns out, so he doesn't say something here. He's missing something from the Gemara. He's missing something very important. Anybody realize what he didn't left out? He put Shabbos and Yom Tov in. Yeah, no. What? What? No. Night. Shkoyach. Night. Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns night from Yamim Yamima. What about Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Akiva does learn out night. He learns out night from something relatively simple, which is bizoyan of tefillin. We can't wear tefillin at night, not because there's no mitzvah, necessarily, but because you might fall asleep with your tefillin. We're very careful. The reason why we don't wear tefillin all day, amazingly, even though it's a mitzvah midaraisa, is because of gufnaki. We have machshavos that aren't appropriate. We have bodily functions that aren't appropriate. So we wear tefillin the amount of time, and that's why we don't encourage women to wear tefillin, because we ourselves really shouldn't wear tefillin, because we also even took a fill. There was a student here in Leva Torah, I'm sorry to say, a number of years ago, obviously a Shana Aleph student, who said, Rebbe, since I learned the halacha that you have to have a gufnaki and machshavos, the only thing I think about when I wear my tefillin is girls. That's what your mom was, a true story. He says, it's just something in my mind, because I'm not allowed to, that I do. You know, like the reverse psychology. I don't know what to do. It's a big shiloh. It wasn't so pasha, right? You can't just go to him and say, stop thinking about girls. It doesn't work that way. What? Right. I'm sorry, what did you want to say?
Why don't we wear at night, or what would happen if we were to fall asleep in front of
Because bizayin, it's a bizayin. Ain't bizayin gadol mizu. It's disgusting. Right? It's like bringing your tefillin to the bathroom. It's not nice. Now, that comes an amazing question. I'll tell you two great shilas. One's very, very sad, and one not so sad. I mean, they're both sad. I'll explain to you why I think it's sad. Yeah, before I give you the two great shilas. What?
What was the end result with the kid that only thought about girls and he worked
doing? We kicked him out of yeshiva. What do you mean? No. I don't know. Somebody spoke to him. Varsha spoke to him. I don't know. It wasn't my pay grade, as they say. So, comes along, Rav Moshe Feinstein. In the 1970s, back in the day, I don't know if you guys remember this, but back in the 70s, what are the 70s? Apparently in the 70s, there was a crisis. There was a gas crisis, an oil crisis, right? There were lines, whatever. So one of the things that they did was they decided not to change the clock that year so that there would be more, that so it became, I don't know how exactly so I understand, but it became, instead of the normal winter where it becomes light in New York at 7 something, at 8:15 was Vasika. So apparently there are many people who have to get up early for work. I'm not familiar with this. And what would happen? At 8:15 in the morning, they're at work already. So the shiloh was, can they put the tefillin? They have no choice. Can they put the tefillin on before, when it's still dark outside? And Rav Moshe said, yes. Why? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the whole problem is what? I'm going to sleep with my tefillin, but I'm up already. And on the opposite side, but the same shiloh, the shiloh of Chuvah is Mahamakim, Rabbi Ephraim Oshri, unbelievable goyin. He died about 2003, if I'm not mistaken. So, in this great tshuvas, Rav Oshri during the Holocaust was asked the following shiloh. In many camps, they had one pair of tefillin. One pair. And in this one pair of tefillin, people would wait online at 4 o'clock in the morning when the Nazis, Yamach Shemam, would wake them up. So the shiloh was, what do you do? And he would also allow it to be done in the morning. That's just a parenthetical point. This has nothing to do so far. I've wasted your time until now with gibberish because we didn't discuss Chol HaMoed. So if we go to Tosfos number 2, but really Tosfos number 3 is going to expound upon it, we need to go to Moed Katan really. But the Gemara in Menachos does explain, Lo Mishum Di Isur Rabbi Yassias Malacha, Afilu Chol HaShemayi Deshar Rabbi Yassias Malacha. Ika Ois, Ois. So then they ask the question, Tosfos, well, what about Chol HaMoed? Is it an Os or not? Well, on one hand it is, because I have a Chiyuv to have Matzah on Chol HaMoed. Not so pashut, but okay. I certainly have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Not so pashut either. But let's assume, we go with the Gruz idea that every moment I'm in the sukkah, every moment I have a kazayis of matzah, I get these unbelievable mitzvahs, so we would understand that. The chiyuv besukkah, right? Because I do have a chiyuv. The mashma, the chol shomar, chayuv. The omar hasam, hakoset film, la'atzmo lachayim betoyv. We're going to see this in the Rambam. What this learns out, what the Tosfos is getting at, but I need to see Tosfos number 2 to explain it. Tosfos source number 3 in Moed Katan says the following. The Yerushalmi, by the way, clearly seems to imply that Yontif is an Os, Chol HaMoed is not an Os, and Tefillin are worn in Chol HaMoed. But comes along the Tosfos and quotes the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolot. So Baal Halachas Gedolot is Pasuk, the Asur Laniach Tefillin B'Chol HaMoed. V'tam, Shememaei Shabbos Yontif. Yamim Yamima is also talking about these days. So there's a clear machloikas, and maybe the machloikas is clear because it's based on what? It's based on the Isser Malacha. Right? Here's the question. Comes along Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik in his Sefer, Zecher Avi Mori. He gave an amazing Yurtzeit lectures for his father. And there, he says, well, that's the question of all questions. What's Chol HaMoed? On one hand, it's Chol. On one hand, it's Moed. Schizophrenic Jew. What is it? So you look around the room, and you can look around and say who thinks it's Chol and who thinks it's Moed, right? Chol, clearly. Chol, right? Right? And then you have a button-down shirt. In my opinion, Moed. Moed, 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 right? What is it? Chol Shel Moed. What? Says the sweatshirt person. Yes. What? Chol. Ah, yes, you are Chol. You're on the Chol team. And I am on the Moed team. So, what does this mean? Says Rav Soloveitchik, well, let's investigate. What makes it a Moed? He says, one, do you have korbanos? Korban musaf? Yes. We have Korban Musaf today, but then again, you're going to tell me of Korban Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. Well, are there mitzvahs hayom? Do I have a mitzvah today to do something? Yes. I have to concentrate on the mitzvah of Dalan Minim. Even though it's Midurabana, I still concentrate on it. Yes, if I sit in the sukkah, I get a mitzvah of sukkah in the sukkah. There are other korbanos brought today. Chutz me the regular Tamid. Korban Ria, Chagiga, Shlomitz, right? And then the big question is there an Isser Malacha? The answer resoundingly should be yes. Don't pretend you're modern Orthodox. There is an Isser Malacha. You're not really allowed to write today. But if you want to pay attention to Rav Hartstein's amazing razzle-dazzle shiur, and you want to make notes, because that's called the Dover HaAved. We spoke about this, about what's not allowed on Yontif. What about the businessman? Are you allowed to work or not? What's the Dover HaAved or not? But really, really, the go-to is, I can't do Malach HaNcholoid. And then I have a Terim, the Tzarech HaMoed, right? Oneg over the Moed, whatever it might be. There are certain Malachas that are done. To stomp paint my house on the HaMoed? Aser Mamish. So therefore comes Rav Soloveitchik. Yes, very much. So, a chol hamoed to paint your house. A phone. Yeah. So, I didn't hear that. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. So, right. The shaila is, we could say that that's the tzorach hamoed. Tzorach hamoed. It's not yontif. Right? You shouldn't think, you know, I gave the shiur a few days ago. We have this beautiful thing, and you know, we're all in, you guys don't even know what I'm talking about here, but this is too many people. You're not allowed to have this many people in Israel, really. This is like, if the cops come now, all you're going to get arrested, but I'm behind the thing. They won't arrest me. Come get me. They can't even see me. No. So, but, right, Baruch Hashem, you're in your own little capsule. I don't know what you guys are doing here. But we have little shul. So in my little shul, I daven in my neighbor's house. So we have a minyan there. And so we decided to daven Mincha Ma'ariv with a 20-minute break with a shiur. So I gave the shiur the first day. It happened to be my neighbor's son's bar mitzvah. So I said, it's such a weird thing. The kid had a bar mitzvah. You did all the malachas of a regular day. Except the bar mitzvah boy didn't wear tefillin. They're zooming it. They got a big cameraman. How's that allowed? So the answer is yes. Letzarech hamoed, we allow things. Mestama phone would be one of the things that we would allow. Even, by the way, when computers first came out, the modern day poskim asked Moshe Feinstein and others, well, what's typing? Is that considered? And they said, no, it's not, even though you can type a lot, but it wouldn't be something that would be usher. So, Tosos clearly points out based on the Bahag, although this is not necessarily the way the Tosos holds, because we quoted the Yerushalmi, that you're not allowed to wear tefillin, on Chol HaMoed. Yerushalmi says you have to wear tefillin. Again, think about the situation. I don't know if you appreciate this, right? Especially if you're wearing a sweatshirt, you're wearing a polo shirt, right? No offense. Like, how did you not wear tefillin today? Well, chutzpah. I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? Especially Nebuch Lo Aleinu, if you remember last year when you were allowed to go out of this jail, you're going out partying. God knows what you're doing. You're on the beach. You're doing every malach in the world. And you're not putting tefillin on. Does it make any sense? So that's what we have to see. Now, if you saw the Rambam source number 4, I would be very surprised if anybody understood the Rambam. Because I don't understand the Rambam. The Rambam says like this. There's an Isser L'chtoy B'moyed. You're not allowed to write on the Moyed. Afilu Sfarim, tefillin and mezuzas. There's no heter because it's a Dover Kedusha. Ve'ein Megian Afilu Ois Echad B'sefer. Ezra, whatever, v'chula. Aval, koitiv adam tefillin and mezuzas. You're allowed to write tefillin and mezuzas la'atzma, for himself. V'im, and here's the line I want you to explain to me. V'im ein lo ma le'echol. He has nothing to eat. Kosev v'morche la'cherim. Because of his parnasa. What is this Rambam telling me? What do I learn from this Rambam? Yes, anyone? Somebody, just scream out. I don't know who should go first. Okay.
If you don't even tell the parnasa to get the food without the work, without working, then in order to be happy during the holiday, you need to work in order to get the food for the holiday.
That's a clear halacha that's going to be 100% true. There's something here that the Rambam, by writing his halacha, is inferring that is a key to understanding the Rambam. He seems to be inferring something very important here.
He seems to be saying that you weren't feeling on Chol HaMoed.
Is that correct? Or is that incorrect? Why?
He says that you could write feeling for yourself.
Dire situation.
Did you say die? Oh, dire, sorry. So, right. So what does that mean? B'shas
HaTchak? Someone else's thing. If you're not allowed to write for yourself, why would you be able to buy? If he's selling it to someone, who's buying the mezuzah?
What's the assumption here about the tefillin?
Well,
The question is it to be worn on Chol HaMoed or not? It seems to be maybe obvious. Maybe. The Kesef Mishnah says it's so obvious to me. I don't think it's so obvious. It's so obvious to me. The Rambam clearly is talking about a case where Chol HaMoed, you don't wear tefillin. Because then for sure, Letzorach HaMoed, we would tell you you could white tefillin. A guy comes and he says, oh my God, I came from America, quarantined because of this whole thing. I forgot my tefillin. And now it's Chol HaMoed and I need to fill it. Of course, why wouldn't the Rambam say, ain't Tzorach HaMoed gadol b'zu? It must mean, says the Kesef Mishnah, that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Why is he letting him write it? Because he has no money. That's the only reason. He's mamish no money. First it says Latzmoy. So you want to learn out that the first Rama Abel Kosov Adam Tfilin Mezuzah Latzmo? That would be okay. But Mistama, there's something here about the... So that's the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says exactly the way I said. However, Nira Tamo Mipnei Shesoyva She'im Anichim Tfilin B'chol Amayit B'chol Yantav Kamol Kol Yantav. Comes along the Shibule Shilte Giborim and says, what are you talking about? Where does the Rambam say that? He says, no, the Rambam is actually saying that you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's what the mashmas of him. That's why he says you can wear it. So it's a machlokes. Not so clear in the Rambam. I could simply argue something, which is obvious, I think. Why wouldn't the Rambam say it out? He knows it's a machlokes. This is a machlokes Rishonim. This isn't something that just was invented. The Rishonim argue this, just to give you an example, right? The Rush, the Or Zarua, the Maharami Rutenberg, the Mordechai, all say that Chol HaMoed eino os, because there is malacha you're allowed to do, and therefore you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Comes along the Shel Tshuva Zarashba, the Ri, the Sefer Itim, and say, what are you talking about? Ein os gadol mizu. And there's no tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So why wouldn't the Rambam machriya and have halacha that says that? That's a difficulty in the Kesef Mishnah. Yes, everyone, yes.
Why don't we do like we do on Rosh Chodesh, where we wear tefillin during davening and take it off the mitzvah?
We do. Anybody who wears tefillin, by the way, show of hands, back in your countries, not in Eretz Yisrael. We'll get to Minhag Eretz Yisrael in a moment. Anybody who wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed normally? Wow, not so many. That is really not a lot of people. I'm shocked. I'm not surprised the English person wears it. Very strong English custom to wear. True, I'm serious. I had a story a few years ago. I was a scholar in residence in the Ramada in the Tanya. I was the rabbi. I was a scholar in residence, and it's Chol HaMoed, and this kid from England, he starts putting tefillin on. So Nebuch, he's a yeshivish kid. His parents obviously forced him to go on. He didn't want to go to this non-kosher hotel. He thought, you know, with this Tzioni rabbi teaching. So I go up to him very nicely, and I said, in Eretz Yisrael, nobody wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Like, you get killed. He goes, you don't know what you're talking about. That's rubbish. I'm like, what's rubbish? Anyway, so I decided not to say anything, and I just forgot about it. The next morning, he comes up to me. Mechila, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I said, what? He says, I called my Rosh Yeshiva. My Rosh Yeshiva said, you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So I went to my Rosh Yeshiva. He says, this crazy tzioni, I didn't say this part, this crazy rabbi who thinks he knows everything. He says, I'm not allowed to wear tefillin. He goes, in Eretz Yisrael? I was talking about in England. In England, our custom is to wear tefillin. No, Chas v'Shalom, in Eretz Yisrael, nobody wears tefillin. Yes? Yeah, but that's I don't understand.
Wouldn't that imply that the Rambam is saying that it's not a mitzvah? That would support that idea. Yeah, because he's giving you permission. How did he give you permission?
Right. So that's that's the Kesef Mishnah. That's the logic of the Kesef Mishnah. Very good. I understand what you're saying. Now I understand that the logic of the Kesef Mishnah is exactly what you're saying. Why do you need to give me permission? It's mutter anyway. If you're wearing it, of course I'm allowed to. 100%. Now the other way to learn it is no, you're not allowed to write stam. But here I want to teach you that you're allowed to write stam if you have no money, but normally you shouldn't. You still shouldn't be writing tefillin for somebody, even if he doesn't have tefillin. Right? Yeah.
Is the Rambam's sock affected by the
fact Yes. Yes. For sure. So let's learn for a second. So before we get to the obvious, so the obvious is that, and this is what the Beis Yosef is about to say, there is a party line here. If you're Sephardi, no way you wear tefillin. Because Chol HaMoed is a moed. There's chol's part of it because we allow certain types of malacha. Don't you dare say to me that that's what the Sfardim would say. And we'll see almost the Ashkenazim, like the Ramaz, like, what are you talking about? So we clearly would think, here's the interesting part. I saw an article on this. I can't verify this to be true, but I'm assuming. There are Jews in Israel, I don't know if you realize this, we think there's Sfardim and Ashkenazim in Israel. It's not like that. The Sfardim, that shul right across the street over here, had a huge fight a number of years ago because they were two different nusachs. They were Yerushalmi Sfardim and Chelba Sfardim, right? Iraqi and Moroccan, they don't agree with each other on anything. They're worse than Ashkenazim. We rather have Ashkenazim in the shul than have these people. So there are those who follow the Rambam Kitikuno, Yemenites, and this is what this article said. They wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed because they say the Rambam is misinterpreted. It's very interesting. They take the Rambam literally. There are a lot of times the Shulchan Aruch doesn't agree with the Rambam. So could be. Exactly. So if you look at source number 6, the Beis Yosef, so source number 6 appears to be somewhat obvious. And he says like this. Says the Rambam, sorry, the Beis Yosef. He gives us a synopsis of what we've seen. The Tosfos there says, the afilu chol shel moed d'shari b'yasiyas malacha, the ikur ois, right? It's not considered to be an os. Is it an os? What's the os? And then we saw he quotes the Yerushalmi, the chol moed chayiv b'tfilin, the rush, the yomim tovim, the yomim shabbos, the ois shelahem, because of the iser malacha, and here there is no iser malacha, you're allowed to do certain malachas, and therefore, says the rush, our guy, for our jury, for Ashkenazim, any Sfardim here? Baruch Hashem. No, okay. So, I'm kidding.
Oh my God, yeah.
Anybody, you think I'm going to kick you out, that's why.
No, Rapalti, like, kicked someone else for the exact same joke that you made.
What?
Because he asked if there were any Sfardim, and then no one raised their hand, and one of the kids said, Baruch Hashem.
He kicked him out. Yeah, that's why I don't work here. So, that's one of the reasons I was fired from the yeshiva. I was just kidding. I have nothing against Sfard. Is there any Chabad guys? Chabad here? No, I'm kidding. Is that why you're behind the thing? They make you behind? No. So it comes along. I was setting you up. This is a good one. I have one for you later. Don't worry, die man. So, the Beis Yosef says, listen. That's the rush. And then the Mordechai also says, Lo hifsid. Hamavarech, even could make a bracha. But then he writes, V'nogu l'chol b'nei Sfard, shalol hanicham b'chol hamoid. V'shmati, and I heard, ready for this one? Shemikoydim hayu manichem oisa b'chol hamoid. Many Sfardim did. But then, right? Kedivrei HaRosh. But then they found the writing of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Because if anybody follows Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it's the Sfardim. What did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai write? Zohar. He wrote the Zohar. And it says, it's Asur Lahaniyach Tfilin B'chol HaMoed. He doesn't give the exact quote. You want the exact quote? Kol HaManiyach Tfilin B'chol HaMoed Chayev Misa. No, you didn't.
Nice.
Did I just go there? Yes. Now, I will be intellectually honest with you. There are many who think that this is rubbish. And that's not what he held. And I'll explain to you why.
He sounds like a
Hashanah. The Eshel Avram of Bochach.
Yeah, I'm
going
to get my phone. But Eretz Yisrael.
What?
Like, the Rambam wasn't
Eretz Yisrael. The Beis Yosef too. The question is, what did he mean? So, comes along the Eshel Avram, the Bochach Rav, and he says, what? Calm down. He said, that's not what the Zohar writes. Read the Zohar. You guys aren't 40 yet, but if you went and read the Zohar, which I didn't, I found some who wrote that they couldn't even find the Zohar. But those that claim that Yeshua of Ram said, I found the Zohar, this is what he was talking about. He says, you know who's Chayev Misa? The person who doesn't follow Divrei Chachamim. He learned the Sugya, and he says, yeah, I know I'm Svardi, and I know I'm not supposed to, but I how can I not wear tefillin? I'm wearing tefillin anyway. So that person's quote-unquote Chayev Misa Midei Shamayim because he's not listening to the rabbis. Right, comes along the first day of Sukkot. It's Shabbos, and the guy said, "I can't believe this. I got ripped off, and I bought this really expensive lulav and esrog for 280 shekel, and now I just found out it's Shabbos. You're not allowed to take lulav and esrog. That's such a ripoff. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it anyway. That's a Chayiv Misa type of Jew. Again, we're not talking about real Misa. So comes along, fake Misa, right? Comes along, right? So that's a possibility. Right? So comes along the Beis Yosef and says, I'm scared. And therefore, all Sfardim don't wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. The Medrash HaNe'elam and Shir HaShirim says this as well. Fine. And this became the Sheet of the Gra. Many people don't know this about the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon very much followed Zohar's. He did. Very big into it. What? Right. It's very, very good. Right. The major difference, by the way, between him and the Hasidim, the Baal Shem Tov, and the followers of the Baal Shem Tov, is that they came out and they said, yeah, it's for everybody. That was the big hilula of, right? A lot of people question why Lag BaOmer is a hilula. What exactly happened on that day? I'm sorry to give you the truth. Probably he didn't really die on Lag BaOmer, right? But secrets came out on that day, which is even more, and it helps me, by the way. If he didn't die on Lag BaOmer, it's even better, because nobody understands why you're making such a halula. But if the secrets of the Torah came out on that day, that's something very, very special. That makes sense to me. So now, here comes Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have a very interesting history. Who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? Three sects of people who very much are not similar. One, Sfardim. Sfardim came to Eretz Yisrael? Right. Right. Talmidei of the Vilna Gaon was a big one. Petach Tikva was named, right? They said this is the Petach, the Gra writes, he was such a Zionist, the Gra. Petach Tikva. And Hasidim. So if we could ever find a time where Hasidim, Gronix, and Sfardim agree with each other, that's called Minhag Eretz Yisrael. One great example of that, Baruch Hashem Leolam. Don't you dare. There's always that guy in yeshiva who makes the mistake. Right? The only reason why we want to kill the guy is because you're wasting my time now. We don't say Baruch Hashem Le'olam here. And, you know, now all of a sudden everybody, you know, if you're in Teaneck, half of the shul say it, half, you know, you want to be cool and say, we follow the Grah. We're Zionists, so we can't say Baruch Hashem Le'olam. There's nothing to do with that. What? Baruch Hashem Le'olam and Ma'ariv. You never say it. Yeah. Yeah, Chabad, you never say it. You don't say it. Okay. Baruch Hashem Le'olam. So that's an example. Number one. Number two, Tefillin Chol Hamoed. Because in Eretz Yisrael, who was here? The Sfardim, we just said, the Hasidim, and the Gronix. So that became Minhag Eretz Yisrael. You do not wear Tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah?
That's the only effect of Eretz Yisrael. Like that it's because these people.
Yeah, nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. If you want to take it far, you can hold like Ravad Yosef. Ravad Yosef says that by definition, which this actually conceptually makes sense to me, right? What happens in the following case? Let's say your family grew up, I'm just making this up, right? Your family grew up in Poland. You were Hasidish as the day is night. And then whatever, you got an amazing job. You're 20-something years old. You graduate from the University of Poland, I don't know, of Warsaw, and you make your way to Italy. You make your way to Spain. Now you're 20-something years old, and the rest of your life you live with the Sfardim there. So Mustafa, you're going to start accepting, right? Something weird happened. We moved to America, as Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, and we became like a chulent generation, really. We do everything. That's why in shuls you have different things. You know, I don't know what shul you daven in. Some shuls make the people go to another room who wear tefillin, right? They make them go out, or the other way around, or sometimes they have, this is our custom, everybody has to wear tefillin, right? Depends on the shul. But if Rav Avadja would say, you know what Eretz Yisrael is? By definition, it's a Sephardic land. I'll give you a raya that it's Sephardic land. Look all around it. Syria, Sephardic. Saudi Arabia, Sephardic. Iran, Iraq, they're all Sephardic countries. Why wouldn't Israel be a Sephardic country? So if you move here, you make Aliyah from Woodmere, you're Sephardic. We don't agree with this, obviously. We say we keep our traditions. Just like it's embarrassing to my kids when I daven for the Amud and I say S. My kids are Et, because they're in Eretz Yisrael, you know. What am I saying? Like I'm in Europe. I daven like I'm still in Europe, even though I never was born in Europe. That's the way I daven. I don't know how. I guess I picked it up in Hafter to daven like a Hasidish person. So that's the question. So that would be the connection would only be like you said that. So let's turn the side over. We only have a few more minutes. How do we paskin la halacha? So here are the tshuvas. Tshuva number one is the tshuva of... Sorry. Not tshuva. Sorry. Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly. B'chol amoid gam kein asur lahaniach tefillin. K'minag hazeh be'atzma. That is what the minag is. Mitam hazeh be'atzma. Shemish shulchol amoid gam hu oath. Hagah? Here it's the Rama. No way. Chayav b'tefillin. V'chei no'odim b'chol glilos elo. All Ashkenazim wear tefillin on chol amoid. U'lahaniach ha'bamor l'varich aleihem. And they make a bracha. Ella she'ein mevarchim alam b'kol ram. Don't make a big deal in shul, because there are going to be some people who don't make a bracha on tefillin, so say it silently. The Mishnah Berurah explains it's not going to be nice. However, the Mishnah Berurah in source number 9 quotes the Gra, right? He says no. She'ein ladas hayesh omer ikr bashas le'inyon bracha bevada yesh lahachmir. And he didn't wear tefillin. Comes along. It's interesting. The Taz came along on this Shulchan Aruch. I didn't quote here, but the Taz says we don't make a bracha. There's a suffix here. Not suffix brachas lahakel. Rav Shach, the great Rosh Yeshiva Panovich, said there is a suffix brachas lahakel on the Shal Rosh. Maybe you shouldn't make it. But comes along the Taz and says, I don't think you should make a bracha. There are many people, Ashkenazim, who wear tefillin of Chol Hamoed, but they will not make a bracha. That seems to be more of a prevalent minog. Someone told me in one of the shirim that Yekis do make a bracha still, like the Ramah. And many have accepted different customs. Rav Sternbach, source number 10, Rav Sternbach, Baruch Hashem, still alive. Arichas Yomim Vishanim. Rav Sternbach is a Nidvenechid of the Gra. He's also a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. So you can imagine now the Briskers accepted the Gra. They followed him and hugged him like Gra, like nobody's business. Rav Soloveitchik did not say Baruch Hashem Leolam because the Gra didn't say it. Right? A lot of people say, oh, Rav Soloveitchik had crazy Minhagim. No, they were Minhagim of the Gra. So comes along the Tshuvas for Hanagas, and he explains that the minag is that this is minag Eretz Yisrael, I thought. Comes along Rav Sternbach and says, I remember that Hagoyin Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer would wear tefillin in Eretz Yisrael on Chol Hamoed b'sina. The Chazanish did the same thing. B'minag Chol Yisrael, Yesh Lamar, right, that we do, but there are people who still do it. Because the Chazon Ish said, "Shem mishtaktik dafka lanicham yochel lanicham ba'atzmoy." There are people who are yearning. How can I not wear tefillin today? And then he tells a story about his Rebbe, the Brisker Rav. This is a great story. The story is that the Brisker Rav's bar mitzvah was on his birthday. Is Chol Hamoed Sukkos. So now it's his bar mitzvah, as I just said with this kid, my neighbor. What a strange bar mitzvah! They're zooming it. Everybody's videoing it, and I'm not wearing tefillin. What's going on over here? So the Brisker Rav said that, I assume this came from his father, Rav Chaim, that he could wear tefillin. The Briskers have a minhag not to wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. But he said, you should wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed, because it's the first time you're going into Ol Mitzvos, it's going to be a strange thing, they're not wearing tefillin. The Shamati Shagoin, the Brisker Rav, based in the Brisk, Nasa Bar Mitzvah B'Chol Hamoed, the Pam HaYechida Shaniach Tefillin B'Chol Hanored, She'aviv Lo Yeratzal, Anich Lo Ol Mitzvos, so not wearing tefillin. Very, very strange. Very strange. The last story, which should be the first story, is the story of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Shechter in Bnei HaRav tells the story that when Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, source number 12, was 13 years old, his father was not at his bar mitzvah, unfortunately. His father was in America, and he was, I guess, saving up money to send the whole family. So he was there with his Rabbeim. We said before in the other shir, Rav Hutner taught him and others. And when he reached bar mitzvah, haya az ha'oviv ha'goin Rav Moshe in New York, ki hitzchil az, he started giving shirim in YU, and his wife, v'mishpatto haya b'Europa, and came along his uncle, Rav Eliel Prisoner. Prisoner was from the Feinsteins, Rav Moshe Feinstein's uncle, if I'm not mistaken. Limudo hilchos tefillin. So how did he know how to, the Rav Prisoner's minhagim were that of the Ramah? So he taught him, Hofia Aviv Hagoyin Rav Moshe, when he found out, Shegiso Limedlo Harav Aaron, said, B'chol Hamoed, you have to wear tefillin, albeit without a bracha, he writes. He said, nothing doing. We're Grunniks. We don't wear tefillin. And also, he saw how he did the finger thing, the sign on the finger. He said, that's not done either. So it became, that was very upset. Now, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik told me that as much as that's true, I don't know if it was a shefa of what happened when on his bar mitzvah, what he was taught, Rav Aaron privately would wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed in the privacy. Even though he followed the Gra, this is a Rav Aaron Emes thing. it bothered him so much that it was Chol HaMoed. How can he not wear tefillin? How can it be? How can it be? How can you say Shema without the... It's a suffix. Why not? We look at tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif as something that's like muksa, like you wouldn't believe. It's not 100% true. If somebody had to give a shir in Menachos, and they wanted to explain the tefillin, they would be allowed to use it. Shiloh with, again, if you're miyachid for sure, again, chisar and kiss, maybe you could taina, but we really do allow it. So, I think this is a good lesson that Rav Aaron taught us, right? And we sometimes face this, right? There, I'm sure people are gonna, in their life, gonna have a family minhag. I'm not talking about a family, you know, my family minhag is to watch TV on Shabbos. It's not a family minhag, right? Right, my family minhag, in a Chol HaMoed, I wear jeans. It's not a family minhag, it's just what your family does. That's not a family minhag. But there are people who will go against their family minhag. And it's not a bad thing. Is it better to ask Rishus? I always say this, right? I'm just gonna give some popular Shana Aleph or Shana Bet things, right? I'm not calling anybody out here. I'm closing my eyes. I don't look at anybody. But if you have someone who decides he wants to start wearing a gartel, let's say, right? He wants to start wearing techeles. He wants to start having payas. He wants to have a beard even. And all bigger yarmulke. He should, in my opinion, always, especially if he's only, you know, 19, 20 years old, always ask his parents first. Ask his parents. Say, this is a minhag I want to... Imagine the story of the guy that wants to wear a gartel, right? And he goes to his father, and his father says, do you know the name of our shul? It's called Beit Knesset HaGra. Like the Gra and the Hasidim, they didn't get along. He says, you could wear... You can't... I'm going to get killed here. They're going to kill me. Right? But hopefully, generally, again, not getting involved in the halachas of Ishimov of Yavtira, but these are minhagim. But it's important. I think it's always important to have the blessing of your parents for these minhagim, because they're minhagim nonetheless. I'm not talking about the, you know, my parents' minhag, as I said, whatever. My parents' minhag is to watch TV on Shabbos. So therefore, I'm going to ask them permission. Can I not? No. That's obvious. Again, you should do it in a mechubed way. Don't get me wrong. But here, Rav Aaron said, this was the family. He followed all the brisket minhagim. And if this is, I assume Rav Chaim's telling, I've been trying to reach him the last few days. Maybe I have the wrong number. I wasn't able to ask him just to verify what I'm saying. But if this is true, so you see that sometimes you say, it just doesn't sit with me. I have to do more. Again, it teaches us how much we should chalash over tefillin. Like, you know, whenever the next time I'm going to put tefillin on next Sunday, I don't know, Sunday or Monday, whatever you put tefillin on next, so you should open that bag of tefillin and say to yourself, I miss you so much. I miss you, tefillin. You know, and then maybe you have to go to speak to Rav Asher, but you should miss your tefillin. It's an important lesson. All right, Yosef Mitzvareinu. Just to summarize and stop the shir, I think that this is a very, very, very interesting inyan. We see different nukudas here. It seems to be the overwhelming minug. By the way, minug of Chabad as well is not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. It's not so surprising. Minug of Chasidim, although it's interesting because there is a talk. If you look at, you can go to Chabad.org, they'll explain to you how the Baal HaTanya came up with this idea, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he writes this. And it was not based, I don't think it was based on the Zohar initially, but it's a very interesting halacha, because it looks like it's Ashkenazim versus Sephardim, and then it turns out not to be, because if you look around in communities, at least in America, I find, most people all of a sudden accepted not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed as din. I'll just tell you a last thing. I know I'm a minute over, but I see what you're eating, you'll be fine. I was once asked, and when I was in YU, they have this thing, I don't know if they still have, it's called Torah Tours. It's a very fun thing. You get to go to a community and be mesameach them simchas Torah, back when you were allowed to be sameach people and touch them, yeah? So, the jackpot of all jackpots in those days was to go on a plane, right? If you were able to go on a plane somewhere, like you hit the big time, right? It's fun. So, I didn't hit the big time at all. I had some weird community in New Jersey I was going to. I don't even remember what community. My job... No, it wasn't that bad. So my job was I had to speak... I had to call the rabbi of the community for us and, you know... So I spoke to the rabbi of the community. I couldn't believe this. And he says to me, I don't know why you boys are coming. You know, it's also to dance anyway. You know, it's Mefarsh Halacha. You probably don't learn that in YU. And he was like, disgusting to me. He's like, yeah. So I called the organizers. I said, I'm not going. They're like, what do you mean? You have to go. I'm like, no, I don't have to go. I don't know. This rabbi the whole time is going to make fun of me. They're like, fine. All right, you don't have to go. Next day, I get a call back. You're not going to believe this. A person canceled from Memphis. You want to go to Memphis, Tennessee? I'm like, whoa, on a plane? That's the big time. So we went. So the first day was, it was Hoshana Rabbah. We got there a day early. And we go into Shul Baron Hirsch Synagogue. It's gorgeous shul. And I don't wear tefillin on Chol Moed, so I didn't bring my tefillin with me. So I'm sitting down in shul, and we're supposed to be these Kiruv people being Mesameach. And the Gabbai comes up to me and says, excuse me, son, do you need a pair of phylacteries? Right? Did you, he thought I wasn't religious, and I didn't even know. So he said, I said, I don't wear, he didn't even know what I was talking about, and he insisted I put a talus on at least. So I put, you know, one of those nice, you know, looked a little conservative, those talus, as I put one of, so afterwards I went to the rabbi and I apologized to Rabbi Grossman. I said, I'm so sorry. He says, I have to explain to you, I made a halacha in my shul. Everybody has to wear tefillin on Chol Moed. I said, can I ask why? He said, because they don't understand. They're all work. They're going to work today. If they don't go to work, meaning if they don't wear tefillin, we say it's Chol Moed. That's like, oh, then you don't have to wear tefillin on Thursday if I don't want to. On a Wednesday. He says, no, it makes a lot of sense that he did that. Seems to be the opposite in many shuls. There's a whole shiloh, if not for now, of lo tisko to do, or Rav Adi Yosef discussing, and many others, Rav Moshe Feinstein, about what do you do in a shul. He says, nowadays, maybe it's not lo tisko to do because everybody understands that some people have different menhagim. So that wouldn't be. But you don't go into a chassidus shul, meaning you can't go into Eretz Yisrael and port tefillin on in the middle of the, you want to do in the privacy of your home, that's okay. But you can't do that in the main shul. Any questions before we end this amazing, wonderful shir? Question, come on, you can't be that hungry. You're just having a little bread from Burma. You're like in jail. Nothing? No questions? Yes, sir.
What's the, just to recap of the special difference between Israel and
I don't think that, you asked that. I don't think it has anything to do with Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael, like, you know, why we duchen and stuff like that on Eretz Yisrael. I think it's literally because of who came here historically. And because the Sfardim and Hasidim and Grunix were all the ones here, that was established as Minog Eretz Yisrael. And we learned, though, that Minhag Eretz Yisrael is not exactly what it sounds like, because there are plenty of other great rabbeim who do it in the privacy of their home. Although, I saw quoted some Hasidish Rebbe in Piskei Tshuvos who did it publicly in his shul and said that's not our Minhag, which is interesting because he was Hasidish. Very interesting. You had something else?
Well, I was just saying, so that means that if you're going to actually do Malachah Chol Moed, then you should wear...
No, it's a good, great question. So that was the taina of Rabbi Grossman. So what if you're one of those Jews who says, come on, I'm going to be honest, I'm not lying to you. After you finish this year, you promised we'd finish by 12:30, but it's 12:35, you promised, oh, don't look at you, I'm kidding. You have nothing to do, stop it, you learn a little Torah, you shut up bad. I'm going to suck a little bit, maybe. So, and you're going to go do malacha like nobody's business, so I should be a tefillin. I don't think that's the way it goes. I hear what you're saying. I hear the logic, and I understand Rabbi Grossman's logic of saying if they're going to go out to work, have them put tefillin on, but they're different menhagim. It's hard to understand. If I'm working like any other day, like a lot of people are, it's hard to believe. Yeah.
Is it also being especially the same with Bristol about Kabbalah of Osos? Meaning, you know, if it could be a subjective thing if someone he says that, you know, if your Kabbalah is on its film because it's the first day that you are on its film, that's going to be your symbol and it's not, it's going to impose on you.
It's hard to believe, though. Again, it's a very interesting Gemara. We're talking about Gemara here. We're not talking about even Rishonim. The question is it an Osa or is it not? I can't decide today it's an Osa and today it's not. You know, half Shabbos, you know. After 12 o'clock, it's not an Osa anymore. But I understand what you're saying. You're saying, well, I'm not defined, meaning I want the Osa tefillin, because how can I go into my bar mitzvah? It's like a bad simon that my... So one would argue with that and say, you know what, my bar mitzvah day happened to be Shabbos also. So what, I put tefillin on Shabbos because it's my bar mitzvah day? What? I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, Yesh Koyach. Yeah. Yeah.